Purdue training camp gets underway on Wednesday. Let's start off with some reasons for optimism for the Boilermakers. We'll do that coming up on this Gold and Black Radio podcast. I'm Kyle Charters with Tom Dienhart. Tom in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502. Tom, training camp starts on Wednesday, the second year for Ryan Walters and company, as the Boilermakers look to build upon the 4-8 record from a season ago. We know there will be challenges ahead for this Purdue team, but this is the time for optimism as we're basically, as we record this right now, a month and a day away from the season opener in Ross-Ade Stadium against Indiana State. Let's talk a little bit of the reasons to be optimistic, Tom. I think it probably starts right with the guy under center. You've got now an experienced quarterback in Hudson Card in his second year in the program, a guy who at times last year I thought flashed some real potential, particularly when he had a healthy offensive line in front of him. It gives Purdue hope that it's got a good quarterback and a good quarterback that can lead the offense.
Yeah, I think that's a great starting point. You know, we hear time and again the bemoaning head coaches about not having quarterbacks or good quarterbacks. And Purdue seemingly, Kyle, has maybe one of the top five quarterbacks in the Big Ten in Hudson Card. If you look around the landscape of the conference, there's a lot of questions hanging over a lot of these schools and their quarterback situations. But Purdue, with Hudson Card coming back as a starter, I think has them sitting, I got to think, in a pretty confident seat. Always a good starting point to have a veteran like Card, a fifth-year player, who again will start his second year in West Lafayette, his second and final season, Kyle. So I think that's a big reason for optimism. I think the backfield overall, the running back duo behind Hudson Card, you know, with Devin Mockaby and Reggie Love, and the tight end situation is also another reason for optimism. I think the Lions are a reason for optimism, too. I think it's going to be a solid group. Should be better than last year, and it was pretty solid last year. Honestly, Kyle, most of the positives, I think, are on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defensively, I guess the secondary gives me a little bit of reason for optimism, but still there's a lot of questions back there. But, again, if there's one unit on defense, I think, to give you some optimism, I would look to the secondary with Dylan Thieneman, with Nylon Green from Georgia, Markevious Brown, Botros Alessandro, you know, Joseph Jefferson, Antonio Stevens. I think that group in the back end could really lead the way on defense.
Let's jump back to the offensive line again. A year ago during the season, I don't know if you have the exact number counted up, but it feels like Purdue used like 20 different combinations to start on its offensive line, which is hard to do when there's only 12 games. But man, it was just difficult because of injury more than anything else. I mean, you go into this season with three guys returning who you feel really good about, and a couple of others who got some experience last year as well, then, you know, four transfer portal guys, including two who you think can slot right into the starting lineup. You know, those others could be backups. You got some guys that got some starting experience last year who could fill in this year. I mean, you feel not only better about the projected starting five and how those guys might line up against other Big Ten teams, but feel like you've got a little bit of depth now too.
I think so. And that was one of the offseason missions. One of the offseason goals of the staff was A, to get bigger on the offensive line, and B, to get deeper. And I think it looks like they've accomplished both of those. Time will tell, of course, but physically they are bigger and certainly have more veteran bodies. And you mentioned the core, the three veterans, you know, Gus Hartwig, Marcus Bowe, and Mahama Musa. Three pretty good cornerstones for the front to build around. And then you referenced the transfers. They brought in four of them. And, yeah, two of them I think are going to start. I think DJ Wingfield from New Mexico will start. Corey Stewart from Ball State, I think he's going to be your left offensive tackle. And don't be shocked if before the season's over, if maybe Joey Tonona, the Notre Dame transfer, can forge a starting spot somewhere. At the very least, I think he may be a guy that plays a significant role, at least off the bench. I guess he's looked really good. Great story, of course, coming back from an auto crash and caused him to miss the last 2 years of football. Thought he was never going to play again. Got cleared, and he's in West Lafayette. He's a kid from Zionsville, so keep your eye on Joey Tonona for sure. And, yeah, that front could be a nice, good foundation for an offense, Kyle, that I think is probably going to have to carry the load early in the season while the defense sort of finds its way.
You mentioned the projection of the secondary and it being a reason for optimism. I agree with you. I mean, I think Purdue's got some players back there and some playmakers. Still probably need to sort out, you know, who goes where a little bit, especially at the cornerback position. But those guys have potential. I was just trying to think to myself, when's the last time you felt this good about Purdue's secondary? And, man, it feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, Dylan Thienemann, he's the key guy back there. What's he going to do for an encore after that great freshman debut? Probably a guy, Kyle, that's only going to be here 3 years. Some think he may be a first-round NFL draft choice. So he's a real special player. Playing that deep safety spot in the corners. I mentioned Nylon Green earlier from Georgia. You know, he looks the part walking through the door. You know, 6'1", almost 200-pound cornerback, which is rare with speed. He looks like he's going to be your cornerback one, I think, for sure. And Markevious Brown, I think, who was here last year from Ole Miss, I think he'll be your other cornerback starter. And, again, I mentioned, you know, Botos Alessandro earlier, Derek Rogers. And don't forget, Kyle, that they brought in the early enrollee, reclassified five-star cornerback, Terion Grant, yeah, from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a five-star recruit. Those don't find their way to West Lafayette too often. And he got here not to watch film and study and practice. They're going to do all they can to get him on the field. We'll see if he's ready or not. And maybe he can find a role as a true freshman. He's a big, long kid, 6'3". Again, is he going to be developed enough to really be able to scratch out roles of true freshman? It's going to be fun watching him, regardless of how much he can contribute this year with a talent like that.
Yeah, you don't reclassify just to come in and sit around and do nothing. You reclassify to come in and earn yourself a spot to play. I'm pretty curious about that, because you know, you're a five star guy. Somebody has seen something that gives them thought that you've got some real potential. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays out this year. Let's talk some reasons for question aside. Let's leave alone the schedule, because we've probably beat that to death a little bit on, you know, who Purdue plays. But just some of your questions, you know, headed in. I mean, obviously the big one on offense is who do you throw the ball to? Like, how all of that shakes out? Can those guys develop into real playmakers for Purdue? They've got some numbers there, just, you know, guys that we don't know real well.
You're right. That position, Kyle, has undergone so much change. It's really been head spinning with who's left. You know, Deion Burks, Abdul-Rahman Sheen, you know, TJ Sheffield among them. I think overall, Kyle, 8 receivers left after last year. I think the only guy they really didn't want to see go was Burks. But still, a lot of new faces had to be brought in to replace those veteran bodies. And they got 3 out of the portal. They got a junior college transfer kid. They brought in 4 freshman receivers. And Kyle, man, maybe the most anticipated guy of all is a player who was actually here last year as a newcomer but didn't play because of injury, of course, Jamal Edgerrin from Florida Atlantic. He got hurt last August in camp. Was supposed to be the number 1 wideout last year, but again, missed the entire year with a knee injury. He's supposedly better and better than ever, strong, and still expected to play a huge role for Purdue this fall. So he's a guy everybody's got to watch, I think. Edgerrin, and then the other guy to watch is the transfer from Georgia, C.J. Smith, a real blazer, Kyle, a guy whose speed really isn't seen at Purdue too often, but a guy with size and speed. So look for Smith and Edgerrin to be your top 2 wideouts. And how it shakes out after that, I think things get very interesting. Will any of the other transfers help? You know, Denylon Moore, such a Georgia guy. Cam Brown's a UCLA kid. Will the junior college guy, Leland Smith, help? He's a big 6'4", 6'5 guy. Will any of the freshmen help? I know they like Shamar Rigby from Florida. So, and then, of course, there's the veterans. Haven't you talked about the veterans? There are some veterans back who did something last year. You know, Jaden Dixon-Veal, Andrew Sawinski, Jaron Tibbs. I think those are the 3 veteran names to watch as we get deeper into August here for that wideout core.
This offense could really use an outside receiver who can stretch the field. That's another spot where you feel like it's been a while since Purdue had somebody on the outside who could really, you know, stretch it out a little bit. Hope is that one of those guys can do that, right? I mean, this offense is really working at its most efficient, as many offenses are, when you can get the ball down the field.
Yeah, you're right. And I think C.J. Smith could be that guy. He could be that field stretcher. He could be that wide out who, as they say, takes the top off of defenses, the type of wide out who defensive coordinators are going to be aware of. I know he's motivated to try to prove himself. You know, he made a little ripple down in Athens, Georgia. I think he got lost in a pretty crowded receiving room down there. But up here, he's a special talent who they're going to give a chance to feature. So, yeah, he could be just what the doctor ordered as far as that deep threat goes. And, of course, as you know, Kyle, boy, that opens things up for everybody else, especially the ground game. Can unleash guys like Mockaby and Reggie Love to try to keep defenses off balance.
On to the defense. Purdue a year ago, Tom had 2 guys who combined for like, what, 15 sacks?
Yeah.
Really good offenses had to account for those guys on every play. Of course, being Kydren Jenkins and Nick Scorton. Will Purdue be able to rush the passer this year?
Yeah, that's another huge question, my friend. You don't replace Scorton and Jenkins. And Jenkins is still here, obviously, but he's now an inside linebacker. And it's been pointed out to me that he's still going to take his turns off the edge, Kyle. 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, you'll see him with his hand on the ground, I'm sure. And they're going to use him as a blitzer, too. So he's still going to be able to show off his pass rushing skills, but that's not going to be his full-time vocation now as an inside linebacker. Or where do you start, right? Who are going to be your rush ends? I think we can all feel safe saying Will Help will probably be one of them. A big kid from Carmel. True sophomore, 6'6", glorious hair, Kyle Charter's hair, and so look for old Will Helton, the man one spot. And who's gonna play opposite him? You know, they got some transfers there, probably 4 transfers, really looking to get some reps. You know, Sheeta Soleil from Boston College, C.J. Madden from Georgia are probably your top 2 candidates. Watch Will's Calvin Smith. Calvin Trey Smith from Illinois. He's a younger guy, redshirt freshman, I think they like too. So I think there's some talent at rush in, Kyle, and they may be very productive, but I guess we still have to see it, right?
You know, Tom, I love everybody that's on the All Hair team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no
doubt. I'm just jealous.
I'm sure you are. you know, on the defense, I think it gets underplayed a little bit, or we don't talk about it as much, but my thoughts are like on the defensive line. I thought those guys last year held up. They had some depth on that. Excuse me. The defensive line had some depth there. Mm-hmm. on the defensive line, could rotate some guys in. stayed fairly fresh. Does Purdue have enough bodies there on the defensive line to be able to replicate sort of what they did last year?
They look like they may have a solid four. First starting a nose tackle. I like the nose tackles with Cole Brevard and Mo Amata. I think they're solid at nose tackle. And the players on each side of the nose tackle, that's the reason for concern. And again, I think they look like they got four guys, right? At least four. This Jamarius Dinkins, his nickname's Spider. He's from Kentucky. He certainly looks the part. Boy, he's a big guy. Jeffrey Emba's another guy who looks the part. He looks like a Coke machine, who got here last year from Auburn. Two big bodies. And Joe Anderson's going to play a key role. DeMarge Lewis, Joe Strickland. So there's some guys in there, Kyle, that are veterans. And we'll see if they can get a push and not get run over and stop the run. And they really have to step up and deliver this year. Like I said, I think there's enough guys to rotate and keep them fresh. So, Brooke Haley, the D-line coach, has some players to work with. We'll see what he can get out of them this fall.
Maybe another one that's going to be key in the fall that we'll talk about more, I would imagine, when the games arrive, is the kicking game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sort of important. sort of important when it comes to game day. Less important when you're just watching them at practice. But can Purdue punt and kick?
Yeah, I think they feel good about Keelan Kremins from Mississippi State. He's the new punter. Jack Ansel was a little bit up and down last year. Keelan Kremins is another Australian kid, a little bit bigger. Purdue thought he was maybe misused in Starkville, wasn't allowed to maybe do all the things he could do. So look for them to do some unique things with him. I'm not worried about the punting. I guess it's the kicking, right? Which you start off that comment about was the kicker. We all saw it with our own eyes last year. It was hard to watch at certain junctures. well, at least a couple of different guys tried field goals, I think. Between Julio Mazis and Ben Freehill. Crocker got a field goal attempt, but he did a PAT, I know. So again, it was sort of a mess. And we'll see what happens as Freehill's back, and Freehill's going to compete to kick off and do field goals again. He's a sixth-year player. But I think the favorite for field goals is Spencer Porath from Brownsburg, the true freshman. Maybe one of the most touted kickers they've had. And you could probably tell the last touted kicker they had. But Porath looks like he comes highly decorated. So we'll see if he can handle it. And then they brought in R.J. Lopez from UCLA to handle kickoffs. So I think he's the favorite to do that. So there you go. Again, I think the field goals are the biggest thing, Kyle. They need some more consistency there. And you can look great at August on a Tuesday afternoon at high noon kicking field goals in practice. But man, boy, you get in there, turn the lights on. Notre Dame's in the Rossade Stadium. The place is packed. TV cameras, lights are on. Can you deliver, man? So we'll see. Like I said, Porath has the resume. We'll see if he can deliver the goods when the chips are down, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds good, Tom. Looking forward to some deep dives here over the next month.
Hey, it's always good visiting, buddy. Be good.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe by searching Gold and Black Radio on your favorite podcast app. And feel free to rate us 5 stars. Leave us a comment as well. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.